clearly, even since you got here, college football has changed.
Yeah.
Two or three times over.
Right.
Just from your perspective, how would you describe how it changed this year and what you guys had to deal with this offseason?
Well, we're thankful. I mean, I like the way the portal is right now. I like the where we are in that aspect, because now we get to keep this team. We don't have to worry about people disappearing in the summer. Like, this is the team that we're gonna have. Let's work, let's get it together, let's dissect it. Now let's put people in the proper places so they can excel. I like the way it's going. Now, I don't like it academically, because they're putting a tremendous burden on the academic departments getting all these kids in. And when I say all these kids, it was when we brought in that many kids. Now it's normalcy, isn't it?
Everybody does.
Yeah, I just want the rest to let you say that. When I rest on that point, that means it's like an exclamation mark. I dropped the mic a little bit on you. There you go. But now it's normal now. We just was the first one out the gate to see that vision way back when. But now it's normal. We don't like it. We wish we could retain players throughout, but you got to understand, with all this money floating around for average nowadays, you could have a backup who backs up the backup, could go somewhere and get $250,000. That don't make sense to me, but it is what it is. So I'm happy that the kids are generating revenue. I just want to find ways for them to keep it and retain it when they're done with this game.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my man.
Coach, I know it's so early in the spring season, but speaking of those new players that have come in, who have you been noticing so far?
All of them. They look different, they're built different, their attitude's different. We sat down in front of a computer and a television and watched every last one of them. Ain't nothing got in here that I didn't see with members of my staff. So I like everybody that's in here. Is everybody a superstar? No. No. But you put a dog beside a guy that's not fully grown yet, he could hunt as well. He may not kill like that dog, but he could hunt. And I'm proud of that.
All right. Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Munster Tiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com, joined as always on Sunday by William Gardner. And William, some good comments there by Coach Prime. It was good to get a chance to see him again here after a break during the offseason.
Yeah, I had interesting comments from him about the portal and the type of players that they brought on board and what they did to get those guys and what he thinks of it. So, you know, lots of interesting comments through the week from various coaches and players, I would say.
Yeah, no, we'll get into all of that. And still kind of holding Don Ponder's memory close to heart. And that's going to be something that we need to have throughout this entire year and going forward for the rest of our lives, because he had an impact on this football program. But like you said last week, William, you got to keep working. And they did this past week. They had three more practices. They are now six practices into spring ball, and they are on spring break. They're going to come back on the other side, do the other, what would it be, nine at that point on the other side of that. So we get three more weeks of spring ball, but a little break in there. Let's dive into any of your thoughts from week two.
Well, I think there's a lot of things to talk about. I mean, you mentioned Dominique Ponder and how his on the team, and I think you see it in terms of what the coaches are saying to the players and how the players respond to each other, and you know, certainly Coach Prime's message before they went on break and all that sort of stuff. So, I think that's a just sort of a thing. For each guy, you know, some guys will be closer to him than others, and it'll mean more to some than it does to others, and everybody doesn't have the same response to it. But I think it's something that brings the team together in a larger sense.
Yeah, no, I think that when Coach Prime says, we don't need any more tragedies, when you have that recency experience within a teammate, I mean,
yeah,
I really hope these guys are making smart decisions this week.
But there's, you know, that's one of the things about life. There's no way to take away the pain and sadness of a loss and a tragedy. But maybe if you, at least you can learn something from it and do something different moving on, at least you can take some meaning from it. I'm not one of those that believes that, you know, make it mean something by what you do, because it's a loss and there's no way around it. But you can learn something from it, especially, you know, guys at that age kind of tend to think they know everything. And so it's a wake up call. And it can be a teaching moment and a learning moment for them all. You know, something to think about in those moments when you want to make bad choices, maybe, or something. But
yeah, like we recapped last week, they did the Life of Celebration for Don Ponder this past Saturday, and his parents were still around in Boulder. They attended Tuesday's practice and got a chance to hang out with Coach Prime, and there was some cool video from that. And just, yeah, you can say what you want about Deion Coach Prime Sanders, but he cares. He does.
Yeah. I think that's always been, one of the most apparent things. I mean, you know, whatever gripes or complaints or issues or problems people see with Coach Prime, the one thing that is obvious, and the one thing I don't know, let people say what they're going to say. I'm not going to comment about that and be on the board anymore, but, what I will say, you know, is that anybody who says he's only in it for himself and his family isn't paying attention, because he really truly cares about these kids, and he has clearly since day one in this program.
So you've got three quarterbacks taking all the reps. You got to find a way to get some talented walk-ons for the fall, right?
I would think
scout team arms out there.
Yeah, I think there are probably a lot of quarterbacks out there that didn't get picked up out of the portal, whatever. I didn't have looked myself, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that can come in, and even freshman walk-ons, you know, can come in and do the scout team work, you know, and have bodies out there run drills and what have you.
I guess we shouldn't bury the lead here, William. This was lower on our production plan, but I wouldn't say quarterback controversy. I would say quarterback competition at this point. Maybe a little more so than we anticipated a few weeks ago.
We'll go back, I guess, to our thoughts about the various practices this past week. But it's unquestionably,
we'll go back to it. Yeah,
it's unquestionably a quarterback battle now. You know, I mean, and Isaac Wilson is the one that's made that happen. It's not surprising to me. You know, I think I was saying that he was a guy to come in and play. I think a lot of people tend to crown the next guy before he ever earns it. And I know Julian Lewis plays in some games and what have you, and is highly rated. But at the end of the game, you got to play the guy that plays best. And right now, Isaac Wilson is playing very well. Now, will that continue all the way to the first game of the season? That remains to be seen. And it's a wake up call and a challenge to Juju Wilson, you know, Lewis. And so I think it's a good thing. You know, nobody should have to have anything handed to him. Everybody should earn it, you know. And if Wilson's a guy who's the best player, you play him. And, you know, people say, well, then Lewis will transfer. You can't even worry about that anymore. You know, dudes are going to do what they're going to do in the transfer portal. And if he lays, you get somebody else. But you got to play the guy that gives you the best opportunity to win. And right now, watching everything we can see from practice, I always wonder about what we're shown, because we're shown what they want us to see. But what you see from Isaac Wilson is impressive. You know, his ability to get the ball out, make the right decisions, put the ball where it needs to be. But then you also see some plays from Lewis as well, you know, with the long ball and making big plays as well. So I think that they're both in it. The surprise of the group is how good Sweetwine looks as a young guy in his first six.
He gets practice. The ball out quick, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I think we also have a receiving core that's going to make quarterbacks look good, as long as they can make a decision. You know, where a quarterback gets into trouble is if they can't make a decision and then throw late and what have you. But I think it's absolutely a quarterback battle, and I think it's 50-50 and pick 'em at this point.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, William, when I wake up in the morning, you turn on ESPN, these talking heads start going, I'm like, you're overreacting to these topics. And I turn it off pretty quickly. And so I try to veer away from that. And I just, you're only six spring practices in. So controversy is not the word, like I said. But you can't ignore what Isaac Wilson has shown up clearly ready to compete. And he's more experienced. He started a lot of games at Utah, you know, and in Colorado saw him his true freshman year when he was maybe not ready to be the starter. But this was an Elite 11 finalist. This is no schlub quarterback. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that's got a lot of talent and a good resume.
Right, and was brought into a good program and was taught well when he was there. Corkman 6833 on the board says Isaac looks good, but how do we know he looks better than Juju based on well off? Well, that's exactly my point. And I think, you know, I don't know if you put that up before I said it, but that is one of the things we don't see every play in practice. And really, you can't know what's going on unless you see it. So the coach, everything is filmed, right? You know, and the coaches see it live in practice, and you don't really see everything that way. Then they go back and watch the films and see who's doing things right and who does the little things right and all those kinds of things. We don't see that. What is clear to me is that Isaac Wilson, aside from the football technical stuff, is a leader on that field, and they respond to him, you know. And sometimes that's a bigger deal than the nuts and bolts of, you know, how you get the ball out and whatever. But so far, from what I can see, Isaac Wilson's doing everything right. And that's not to say that – that's not to say that Juju Lewis is not. We don't have enough information, you know. So I think we keep watching through the next nine. You know, and I'll say this too, is like, you know, you can look good in six practices and then fall off the table. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but we've seen – you and I have seen that happen before, man. You've seen, we've seen guys be a hero in spring and not show up in the fall, you know. So anything could happen at this point, but I think anybody that doesn't think it's a quarterback battle – it is missing the boat.
Your fan is the MVP again. That's why I'm here. Not for the Buffs talk, LOL, said the Cork man.
Well, I was almost in hoodie for, you know, aggressive hoodie.
Hoodie Willie. Oh, man. Yeah. Hoodie William's the best. We love Hoodie William.
Now I got to get better lighting in here. Last week, the fan was on one higher speed. Now it's on low. Okay. That's the extent of my value here is the fan.
I think you got more value. I'm going to give you that. Corkman is just throwing shade at you there.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen some flashes out of some of the playmakers for Colorado. It's fun to watch Boo Carter and Cam Perry go battle every day. Mitchell, the transfer from New Mexico State, that kid is a playmaker, it looks like.
Real quick, which I just want to address. Toner 23 says Juju just doesn't have that dog in him. Now I see exactly what you're seeing. I see it, but it's too early to say that. Okay, you got to see how he responds. You know, he's been pushed now. He's had somebody in practice with him that could push him. You find out if he's a dog or not. You find out how a dog is when you poke him with a stick, right? And we're gonna find out if he bites back or not. So I think it's too early to say that, but I definitely see what you're seeing when you say it. I'm sorry. Go back to what you were saying.
No, with Juju, I think that's a good point. Is I'm looking forward to the point when we stop doing this, but he should be a senior in high school right now.
Right.
And I saw some things out of him last year that showed some real growth and maturity.
Right.
And I'm not selling my Juju stock.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
So, but Nate Mitchell, any thoughts there with the safety coming in? It looks like he's got an innate skill to kind of figure out, you know, where the ball is going to be going in these situations.
Yeah. What would you say his first name?
Nate Mitchell is like what it's, I think everybody calls him Nate. Nate Mitchell. Okay. Yeah.
I was just kind of curious if you had heard how he pronounces it, because I like to say the names how people want them. But
sure.
Yeah, he's doing great. And I think, you know, he and Jaden Hardy are both showing something. I think I'm a little I'm a little concerned that both of those guys are not very big for safeties. But they're certainly got a nose for the ball. And I can't remember which one of those safeties said something. It might have been Hardy talking about. And I think this is interesting. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. But he talked about with the change from Livingston to Marv, that they have more freedom in the back end of the defense, and that they can fly around and do more things. So I'm curious to know exactly what he meant by that or what you heard.
They're playing more zone coverage now.
Yeah, okay. I kind of thought that's what he was talking about, but I think they both seem to have a playmaker. And, you know, Yaya Boyd also has made a couple plays back there too. Mm-hmm. So
yes. Maurice Williams, I don't know what you can expect out of him, but he showed a couple flashes this week as well. That kid's going to be good.
Yeah. Okay, remind me, because, you know, I'm old and seen on a bear. What's your name again? Who was the kid that we were so blown away by his film?
Preston Ashley.
Preston Ashley.
Nickelback.
Yeah.
Yeah. He and Boo Carter are going to be their nickelbacks, it sounds like, this year.
And he's had some moments, I think, too. So.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think, you know, what I like about, too, is you know, Boyd was at Indiana, and Jaden Hardy was at OU. So, they come here from big-time winning programs, and they've seen what it takes, you know, and that's always a positive to add to your team as well.
Yeah. There was a healthy spring skirmish between Richard Young and Edge Emmanuel. Oziogubu?
I think you got an extra syllable wobble in there.
Iziogu.
Yeah.
Manuel Iziogu.
Iziogu. So.
A physical freak that was very impressive during those early winter spring in conditioning testing sessions. And I'm glad that didn't get, like, brought up with national headlines again this week, because I think we handled that topic last week, right? I mean, you've got to have aggression in the spring. You don't want it to go over the line. There's been some fights that have gone over the line in my time covering Colorado, and a young man that was pretty talented about 12 years ago ended up getting kicked off the team. You know who I'm talking about.
And the player that was on the other side of that left the team as well.
Yeah. So you don't want to see that happen, but this was healthy. And then you get into Friday scrimmage action. And like you said, Jaja Boy had a nice BBU there. It looked like a 90-yard connection between Isaac Wilson and Cam Perry on that touchdown, that first one.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there's no way to tell from the angle we had whether it was a legit catch or not, but the ref said it was, and that's all that really matters at the end.
Yeah, there was another one, later that, honestly, I don't know if that was a touchdown. The one in the corner of the end zone, that was a little bit later. He did catch another one from Sweetwine along the sideline. Yeah, 16-27, if you go to Darius Sanders' YouTube page. That didn't look like a touchdown catch, but they gave it to him. So he had three for the day, on the record, at least.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Perry had a huge day, you know, and I think all those wide receivers had big day, had some big moments in the last week. You go back to the age-old question in spring, does that mean they're really good or that the secondary has problems? But I would also say that, you know, these kinds of scrimmages are made for the offense, because you don't get to take the quarterback down. You don't get to really hit the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things will happen here that might not necessarily happen in a real game. So it really remains to be seen what happens, you know, when it's truly live.
Yeah. Damian Henderson, the second, broke off a long run in that. Linebacker Leona Lefau had an impressive tackle on a screen pass for Jacalen Taylor. We talked about Isaac Wilson. He just keeps balling out this year. Gets the ball out quickly, can throw on the run, shows leadership, like you said. He got to break down the scrimmage at the end. So that was a message going into spring break, I think, that He is part of this competition there firmly. And then, as we mentioned, a great message from Coach Prime as the team goes off to spring break. Anything else you want to share from what you've seen from this team through the first six spring practices?
Yeah, there's a comment on the board. D-Nice 901 says Danny might lead the team in yards. Well, hell, he led the nation in yards last year, so it wouldn't be a huge surprise. I think it's a question mark to me. Do we have issues in the secondary, or do we have a really great wide receiver core, or both? I don't know, you know. But there's only 6 weeks into spring ball, so who knows? I don't know, you know. There's a lot to be seen. I don't know. Somebody asked on the board, and I apologize, about defensive tackles, and I share your concern too, but, you know, we're not playing fully live, so it's hard to tell what's going on in there. We don't get really great views of what's happening with what's going on between our offensive line and our defensive line. I think the offensive line has a lot more talent and options and a lot of guys that have played a lot. And with regard to your question, I'm deeply concerned about defensive tackle. You know, so far I haven't seen anything that really, that allays that or takes that fear, that concern away from me. I haven't seen anybody at the defensive tackle really step out and do something. Then again, we haven't really seen the edges either. But then again, you know, if you can't hit the quarterback, you know, a lot of guys might have sacks if they were able to hit the quarterback. I think one thing I would say is that some guys are stepping forward on the line. I think Bo Hewley is, you know, as far as you can say this far into things, is locking down that left tackle. I mean, I don't think anybody's really pushing him at that spot, and I think he's got a lot of talent. Sounds like Taj White is doing pretty good. I think we're going to have a better offensive line this year, and I think part of that is due to the offense that Brendan Marion runs, you know, and so it's an offensive line friendly system, and it makes it easy for those guys. One thing I'll point out too is there was a interview with Fisher Clements, and he was talking about how good it was to block with this offensive line, and or might have been Atkins, I can't remember, one of those tight ends, talking about how good those tackles are playing, and it's a joy to play next to them. I think Fisher Clements is a guy that's a little bit of a surprise, doing pretty well. I think it's clear that he's going to be a blocker first, and Atkins as the receiver first. But at 6'7", 260, you know, that guy's a mismatch when he gets out in the field.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's not going to run down the seam like Danny Graham, but, you know, you get inside the red zone, you post that guy up in the end zone, and you could have something there.
All right, we're going to settle back into more spring ball discussion on the other side of this. Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupas and a Chicken Bacon Ranch Nacho Fry option at Taco Bell. This is Taco Bell at it again with the best innovation in the industry. And now they are combining their savory slow-roasted chicken inside a cult classic format with their new limited time only Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupas. Get your set of two street sized chalupa shells filled with slow roasted chicken, flavorful bacon, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded cheese, and avocado ranch sauce. And this is a chalupa shell that is coated with cheddar. So you can't go wrong here. Taco Bell isn't just limiting this Americana flavor combination to its street chalupa format, but why not get this pairing on Taco Bell's iconic nacho fries? These loaded fries deliver everything you love about nacho fries, but also leveled up with slow roasted chicken, bacon, nacho cheese, pico de gallo, and avocado ranch sauce. And don't forget to add one of the new items from the Taco Bell Lux Value Menu with 10 items for $3 or under. The Lux Value Menu at Taco Bell delivers bold, irresistible flavor and crave-worthy items at unbelievable prices. Nobody delivers everyday value and supports your hometown teams like Taco Bell. Live Moss at Taco Bell. All right. Thank you, Taco Bell, for your support of this podcast. As always, we get the light over here, back there. We're Living Moss on Buff Stampede Radio. And we're also living with On Three now here. We're getting settled in there, William. It's been 2 weeks now. It's been a whirlwind ride with spring ball starting out. Have you figured out all the features and functions on the new site?
Well, I never figure out all the features and functions of anything. You know, I got the phone, a million things it can do. I could talk on the phone and text, you know, but I think it's more of a bigger thing for you and I think other people. I don't like to do things on the phone because the screen is too small for me.
And okay.
I don't know where we went, but.
No, you're good. I'm going to pull up actually our mobile app here.
And contrary to popular belief, I do leave this room. So. And as for who's seen what, nobody's allowed in, so who knows? We only get what we're shown, and we can only derive our analysis from that. So, you know, until we get to games, that's the first time we're going to see things live.
Well, we do have an app for the folks that do use their cell phone, unlike Mr. William Gardner. You can get real-time Buffalo's alerts at your fingertips. This is easy access to the message board, to the prospect database, and to all of our stories that we do on buffstampede.com. And right now we're running a 5 months for $1 special. And this is something that could get pulled at any moment. I know our last promo got pulled pretty quick. So if you're interested in joining us at On3, I hope you are. We've got a lot to offer you here in the coming weeks, months, years. This is going to be hopefully our last stop ever at buffstampede.com. So definitely take advantage of this deal before it goes away. And yeah, that's my sales pitch for today. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds like a good plan to me. I show up where you tell me to go, man. You know.
Well, I've got an On3 shirt coming your way.
All right.
So you can rep the brand here. Give soon.
Options for podcast day. Just looking at some of the things on the board, somebody asked about how are both lines playing. I don't know how you can tell how either line is playing in spring or fall camp because they're going against each other, you know. I think this defense is still trying to figure out what Coach Marv wants them to do. So I don't think we're seeing the edges turned loose by any means, but I think there's still work to be done there. I like what I'm seeing with the offensive line. I think we got good guys and we got some depth. It's hard to know, like when you watch these videos and such, remember that you're seeing highlights, right? And so stop for zero gain is usually not a highlight. They don't show it, you know? So maybe that happened nine times and then we had a long run. It's hard to say without the full context of seeing every play out there. So it's just too early to tell. There's not anybody that stuck out to me on the defensive line or edge so far in spring. I think the linebackers are looking good. That one play against the screen by can't think of the name now.
Leona?
Yeah.
With DeKalen Taylor, where he just blew up that screen pass. Yeah, that was impressive.
Right. That looked good, but you know what? You can't, I think people get excited over one or two plays in spring, and then in order to really be a good player, you got to put those back to back to back and do it all over again, you know? So, no, I haven't seen anything yet that tells me we're having trouble at linebacker, but I don't know. I don't think we've had any indication last spring that it was going to be as bad as it was either.
And Toner 23 said the defense isn't looking good, at least not in that scrimmage. Again, you're kind of, you don't have the full sample size. I think that's one of those things. You need to show up and actually attend to get the full grasp of things.
Well, and I think, you know, that I don't disagree at all. I was thinking to myself that the offense looks more ahead than the defense, but you also have guys on that offense that have played a lot in that offense, and you have that's an offense that knows exactly what it's going to do, and it's designed to test defenses. But without seeing all the plays together, it's hard to know what really happened. We see the highlights, And we don't know, you know, even if we saw the whole thing, you still can't tell, is one side good because they're good, or is that one side good because the other side's not good, or some combination of both? It might be that our offense is really, really fantastic. I don't know.
Yeah. Dan O underscore Sco said, we are going to get Mr. Gardner to turn that fan up.
Dan, last week, brother, you got to go watch it. It was running one step higher.
It was about to take Dan Lenning's head right off last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think he's still doing okay up there in Eugene. So I definitely don't want to encourage any violence out there.
Yeah. I think the two running backs that have sort of stood out to me so far are the two big guys, Richard Young and
Damian Henderson.
Damian Henderson. Man, I can't name today for save my life. I think both of those guys, I think Damian Henderson showed me a little bit of speed that I didn't expect on that long run. But both of those guys are going to be bruisers. And there was a play from the week before with Richard Young where Coach Prime had challenged him, you know, and said, you're not showing me what you can do. And the next play, he ran over a linebacker and took it all the way for a touchdown and showed his excitement out there. You know, so I think both of those guys, I'm a guy that loves a big running back, man. You know, Eric Dickerson, I'll watch that dude all day, you know. But I am glad to see that. I think we got some depth in that running back room. I think they're picking the thing up pretty quickly. And I think you're seeing hints of what this offense will do for running backs, you know, and a wide variety of different things that they can do. I'm just trying to look at my notes and think about, I'm going to bounce around between different things here, but one of the
Before you go on to the next one, yeah. I want to throw in something real quick. We get a chance to talk to Damian Henderson II and Richard Young on the same day. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday this past week. And one's from Florida, one's from California. Damian Henderson's from California, Young's from Florida. And you could just tell the differences in personalities with them. I think that's a fun room. I think they're really meshing pretty darn well in that room, that running backs room.
Yeah, well, and I would pass that on. You know, it seems to me that I don't know, you know, it's hard to say something. I see a lot of togetherness I may sound stupid saying this, but I see joy on that field. These guys like each other and it makes a difference, you know? And so there seems to be a lot of chemistry amongst the whole darn team, if you ask me, based on what I see out there. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do, you know, Coach Prime reiterated again in one of his interviews how they looked at every single guy, and he looked at every single guy and knew about every single guy before he brought him in. And I think that has as much to do with what they add to the culture of the team. And please let's not get into a fight about the word culture, for the love of God. What they bring to the team as far as that goes, as well as talent. So, yeah, I think that running back room is meshing. I think those running backs are looking at this offense and going, man, you know, you can eat in this offense because, you know, we got a question for tomorrow. You and I to answer about our running backs I was looking back over the stats for the Go-Go under Marion the last 3 years, and they run the ball, boy. They get a 1,000-yard rusher every year, and usually with a couple of guys with 500 after that. So I think those running backs are excited by the offense they got. And the fact that there's two spots out there most of the time means it's not all these guys working for just one spot. You understand what I mean? So there's two running backs on most plays, so there's a lot of opportunities, you know.
Yeah, and shout out to our guy Leo Rivera, the fourth that is doing our roundtable features. He's been getting us involved in that, and it's been kind of a fun feature to do so far.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
At our new home at On Three. He was our big new staff addition. I'm excited to have Leo on board with us.
I wait each week to see what his question is going to be.
Yeah.
But I think another thing that stood out to me from the interviews and such this week is for lack of better words, there's a hunger amongst these guys, and they, and a lot of them seem to feel like underdogs, and they got something to prove, you know. And to some extent, we hear that every year, but it seems a little different this year to me, and maybe that's just the spring optimism coming through. But, you know, I think, like, and I'll go to the two of the coaches talked about, Coach Marion and Coach Fletcher talked about their backgrounds. It was really quite touching, you know, how hard they had it and how they stuck through it and made it through adversity and whatever. And I wrote down a note that said, need and hunger tends to make people great if they take it the right way. And I say over the 40 years I've been coaching and working with football at the high school college level, I have seen a lot of guys with talent not make it great because they don't need it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nate Landman needed football like he needed oxygen, you know, and that's what makes him great. You know, Brady Russell's another one, you know, outplays his talent because of his need for the game. And I think that sort of thing, you overcome those sorts of things, and it makes you somebody who's tougher, for one thing, and you're willing to, able to handle adversity and what have you. But I thought those were very moving statements by both of those coaches, and tells me a lot about who they are as people.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't get through that and have a heavy heart at the end of it, you probably don't have a beating heart, right? I mean, that was pretty intense, especially Coach Fletcher, his journey. And I will say with Marion too, like, you know, he talked about how what was his brother that said, like, this is going to be the best thing for you. And you still see the results of that many years later, where he brings the energy every day to practice.
Right.
He's a hungry guy, you know? And I think that those early struggles can kind of help build that, you know, that foundation for you as a coach. And so there's a lot of coaches to root for on the staff. There's no doubt about it.
And another one is Niblett. And I love the comments from Fisher Clements about him talking about, he's tough and he tells hard truths, but he gives hard love too as well. And he's tough, but he loves you. And that reminds me of a head coach I worked for a long time ago said one time, he said, they won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So you can ask almost anything of kids and of athletes, as long as they know you care about them and you're asking for their best interest and what have you. And I think Josh Niblett is just the epitome of that. He's a high energy guy, but you know, he's after those guys and he wants them to be their best. And I think Coach Niblett is maybe the most overlooked coach on this staff. You know, people think, well, he's just a high school coach. Well, he ain't just a high school coach. He had an opportunity to be at college, and it was interesting to me to hear him talk about that, how he passed it up and wished he hadn't. But you know, he's one of the best coaches in the history of Florida football. You know, and he knows the sport, and he knows recruiting, and he knows how to motivate kids. And so I think that's a big damn deal to have him on the staff.
No doubt. We were going to get into some recruiting stuff on the other side of this and break down our final thoughts as we go into the spring break with Colorado. And William, I got to ask you, I don't know if you saw that our guy, King Thibodeau, who we broke down on our podcast like a month ago, is saying that Colorado is one of his top schools. Yeah. So that was fun to rewatch earlier today. I don't know if you saw my post on our message board.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, that's a lot of fun and excitement. A month ago is like a lifetime ago in William Gardner years.
All right, let's get into this ad break and we'll come back on the other side.
Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud.
So many of our top stories right now on BuffStampede.com are recruiting stories, because the Buffs have hosted some recruits on campus here recently. William, I asked you before we went to break about King Thibodeau. That's one of the wish list guys for me, just from a football standpoint. Even if I can stay unbiased as a Colorado reporter, like, I want to cover that kid. I really do.
Yeah, and he's exciting to see. He's a guy that's kind of a tweener at 6'2", 260, but he's really kind of unblockable. If I remember correctly, we saw him play all the positions across the line for his team. And
100%,
did pretty well against everyone in it. And I think he's a guy, looks to me like he's got some growth potential too. So he might end up as an interior guy at 300 or so, whatever. Or he could have he has that quick twitch to maybe make it at edge. Either way, you want him on your team. And it's great to hear that we're in the lead for him. So, you know, 4-star guy. And that's a position of great need, that defensive line, edge, defensive tackle group. So,
yeah, I did a story on Gabe Jenkins, a blue chip safety in the 27 class that visited Colorado this weekend. Brandon Huffman, who followed me over from 24/7 Sports over to On3. He did a story on in-state standout Troy Mialu, who visited the Buffaloes this weekend. I did a story on Jordan Mitchell. We got more stories coming your way. I've reached out to a lot of the other young men that have visited Colorado recently. So lots of recruiting updates. Take advantage of that deal we got on 3. My father was a salesman. I went a completely different direction. Like, that just is not my DNA. But I can sell what we're putting out there because I know it's going to be good stuff for folks following Colorado football and Colorado football recruiting going forward.
And then I don't know if maybe I missed it, but Jackson Roper came up from Cherry Creek and seems like he's at least got some interest in the program, you know, and he's a big talented offensive lineman. He'd be a great get out of Cherry
Creek. Tough pull if they can pull that off.
But you know, you got him up there and we're still in the works. You know, I mean, he's up, he's practiced, and now he's going, okay, well, you know, not gonna write him off like we originally thought he was going to, you know.
Yeah. No, that's important. And you're right. Even in this transfer portal era, this is something I've said for a few years now, like, put your best foot forward with all these guys.
Right.
Because you never know where they're going to be a year from now.
Right.
It could be the next coming of Arden Walker, you know, in your program.
A guy has a good memory of Colorado and doesn't pick him initially, and a year from now wants to come back here, and we bring him back, you know. So, I don't know. I thought that was exciting. Wasn't there a big edge guy from Mullen as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got a story up on him on BuffStampede.com. So go check it out. Yeah.
So
it's a good place to be, huh?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of continued recruiting like this, and see guys coming in the spring and what have you. Somebody asked on the board about should CU have – oh, well, there's the key question right there.
I'm trying to get to this. Mental health.
Late night.
Late night. How often do you guys shave your head? I'm considering the same look.
Well, I got to do mine every third day about, because it's still
– Third day. I had to do every 2 days, and then I started going gray all over. And then I could pull off 3-day look. Yeah.
Yeah. And then somebody else asked on the board, could see you have like some kind of a combine or something for transfer guys. And I'm not sure that's legal, although I'm not sure what is legal anymore.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Although I'll double check on that, but that doesn't seem above board. OWME explained, Micah needs to do more physical if he wants to play on Marion's team. He's too soft and never knows down and distance. I get frustrated when he tries to make a move on the defender before first down mark. I do think that Micah needs some recognition in terms of yardage, but like physicality, that's not a thing with him. That's a physical dude.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one that ran over Shiloh two springs ago as a guy who should have been a senior in high school. I think there's other issues with Micah. I don't think he has necessarily great vision or instincts, but he'll definitely run into you. And I think what Omi is getting at really is more of a vision and instinct and knowledge of the game thing in terms of not knowing where the sticks are and making moves at the right time. And some guys just have that innately and others don't, you know.
Yeah. Any other reactions from last week? Anything left on your notepad as we get into spring break on your end?
Well, I think I continue to be impressed by these receivers, you know, and the depth we got there. And I think one thing that last note brings back to me is that you got to be tough to play for Brendan Marion and his offense. It doesn't matter what position you are. You got to be physical and hit people. So I think that I'm excited to see that in a CU offense. You know, and what I think is very clear from this offense is that it's exciting and it goes fast and they get the ball out to people who can get things done. You know, and I think, you know, we had all this talk about Isaac Wilson and Juju Lewis, and it takes me back to a quote from Brendan Marion way back when he first signed on with CU, and he talked about what are you looking for in a quarterback? You see, he said like a point guard in basketball, a guy who distributes the ball well. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. You know,
Isaac Wilson looked like a pretty good point guard, didn't he?
Yeah,
through six practices,
right? And they got, you know, I don't know, you know, Brendan,
there was just like this just kind of quick trigger that like he could just see something within that offense,
right?
And maybe that's just because of the experience factor, right?
Right, it looked effortless. That's what the word that comes to me is, it just looked effortless, like he was snapped the ball and almost instantly. You know, whether he was reading the defense beforehand or he knew the offense well enough, he would find that guy and get rid of the ball. You know, Isaac Wilson understands he's not the guy to run the ball and make things happen. That his game is his head and his arm, you know. And so he gets the ball out to guys who can run. And I think that's exciting to see. But every coach has his own way of evaluating players. And you know, most of us, you know, like you watch practice after practice, and usually – for me, coaching offensive or defensive line, you get down to that, you know, you get down to two guys at a position, and one of them will stand out to you in some respect or another, or the other one won't stand out. And so I think that without being there in practice and seeing what they do in the film room and everything else, you know, you can't know how Marion's going to make this decision. And I don't think we'll know until game time.
But Julian Lewis has a golden arm. This is not a be all end all type of podcast, right? Like, but it had to be, this discussion had to be kind of the forefront of this podcast, I feel like.
Well, I feel like we keep reiterating, you know, the point that it's early in spring and all we're really doing is saying that Isaac Wilson looks good and is in the competition. We're not saying anybody's going to be the starter over the other. I couldn't tell you one way or the other. You know, I mean, if you based it on six practices and we had to play tomorrow, I'd play Isaac Wilson. But there's a long way to go before we play again.
Yeah, if you put a gun to my head right now, I'd try to take the gun outside of my head to not make a prediction in the situation, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, because I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I really didn't expect to be at this point of debating it. Six practices in either. So that's part of why we spent time on the show on it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I, you know, I hope we're being clear that neither one of us is making a prediction about this.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is there's a competition, and if you don't see it, you're not paying attention.
Yeah. Good way to end the show, William. I appreciate you as always. And appreciate everybody out there for tuning in. We'll be back next Sunday. You know, they're going to be on spring break, but I guarantee you there's going to be something to talk about for sure. Memphis track, Memphis track, go.
They like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that go, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Might not swear, I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, yeah. It's pushing 180. And see you later, baby. Colorado Army with soldiers like the Navy. Yeah. And voters where we stationed, patiently awaiting. When I hit the field, it's so hard to behave. Yeah. I'm Colorado swagging as the crowd do the wave. Look into my eyes, I can tell that you afraid. Uh-huh. Cause you know we finna hit ya. Hit ya. You on your own now, why you watching the official? Yeah. You just better hope you make it to the next whistle. And we ain't playing with you, you can get it. In the middle of the ring, throwing blows, knocking down team after team. I think they like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play,